Christianity is a religion that involves relationships. The most precious, the most dear relationship that you and I can sustain is our relationship with God the Father. Folks, that relationship is made possible, first of all, by the plan of reconciliation that God has given to mankind. And secondly, by our obedient faith unto that plan. Sometimes there are passages of Scripture that encapsulate an entire concept, an entire thought system, and one of those is found in Ephesians 2, 16. For there, Paul writes, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." The "he" in that passage is the Almighty God. Notice secondly that it was his purpose to reconcile both, that is Jew and Gentile, make both of those individuals friendly with himself, guess where? In one body. Folks, that's the church. That body was eternally planned by the Almighty God according to Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. And it was made possible by Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross of Calvary. Folks, you and I have a relationship with God because he planned for us to have a relationship with him in the precious body of Christ. But the only way we can have that is through faithful obedience to that plan. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Once we enter into the family of God, we then share relationships with those individuals who are brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter writes, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Not only do we share a vertical relationship with the Almighty God, but we also share a horizontal relationship with every brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Folks, Christianity is a religion of relationships. And for the next few moments, I want us to talk about relationships and some of the actions that you and I need to perform with regard to relationships. Point number one, every one of us needs to be doing all we can do in order to make relationships with other people. Folks, I am an introvert, and if there is anything that is difficult to do, it's that very thing. I have to expend a lot of energy in order to make a relationship with individuals. And what I am finding is there are more and more individuals who don't want a relationship today than do want a relationship today. That makes it even harder, doesn't it? You don't really want a relationship with me, and it's hard for me to make one anyway? Wow. That's kind of a barrier, folks. But if there was anybody who made relationships with other people, it was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Folks, I'm talking about relationships with absolute strangers. All of those individuals known as the apostles at one time never knew Jesus Christ until he introduced himself to them. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, notice that, he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4, 18 and 19. Notice that it was Jesus who reached out to those individuals. Jesus was just walking by the sea. Those individuals were involved in their regular, everyday activity, fishing. And yet he calls out to them, and they form a bond that would last forever, didn't they? We turn over into the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. There's a wee little man. I don't think the Bible puts it that way, but that's what the song says. There was a wee little man who had heard about Jesus. But he wasn't tall enough to see. So he climbed up in a sycamore tree, did he not? And when Jesus was come to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide in thy house." Luke 19, verse 5. Folks, this man just wanted to see Jesus, did he not? He just wanted to behold him. He never dreamed that this day I'm going to form a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he was not the one who initiated it, was he? It was Jesus who looked up in that tree and called out unto him. On another occasion, Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and they were traveling through enemy territory, Samaria. They got near the city of Samaria, and Jesus grew weary, and the disciples decided to enter into the city and buy supplies. And Jesus sat there at Jacob's well. And the Bible says that a certain woman came near in order to draw water. Folks, Jesus could have just sat there, couldn't he? In fact, Jesus could have gotten up from the well and walked off and let her do her thing, and then when she left, go back to that well. That's not our Lord, is it? As soon as that woman drew near to that well, Jesus said, "Give me to drink." John 4, verse 7. Again, he initiated a conversation and he formed a bond, a relationship with a woman who was a stranger, was she not? A woman with whom Jews had absolutely nothing to do. A woman who was a sinner. And yet that day Jesus convinced her that he was the prophet for whom they had been looking for all of this time. Folks, you and I need to be like our Lord. And we need to be doing everything we possibly can to make relationships with other people. Some of you are already in relationships, aren't you? We're out there in the world and we are forced into certain situations where we have relationships with other individuals, our coworkers, our friends at school who take classes with us, those who are involved in sports, those who are involved in various clubs that we are members of. Folks, the very moment that we join those things, we immediately surround ourselves with people with whom we form connections. We need to make close relationships with those people. You know, we also can form relationships with other individuals out in our world, can't we? You go to Walmart on a regular basis. I know I make my deposit a couple of times a week. And folks, as you go through those lines, you begin to see the same individuals over and over again. You go to McDonald's, same individuals. You go out to eat at a restaurant, same waitress or waiter that waits on you. Folks, we need to be forming relationships with those individuals. How do you do that, Vic? Folks, just stop a couple of minutes and ask them a couple of questions about who they are and about their life. Are you from here? Nah, I'm not from here. They'll tell you the next 5 minutes where they're from and where they've been. You got family? Oh, yes, I'm married, got a couple of kids. Folks, within two or three conversations, you can have a wonderful relationship with those individuals. People love to talk about themselves, don't they? And that's the way you form a relationship with someone. And finally, we can just pop the question, can we not? No, not marriage. Where do you go to church? They'll either tell you where they go or that they don't go. Well, I'm a member at Oceanside. Here, take a card. We'd love for you to come and be with us someday. Folks, form those relationships with individuals. Form one with your doctor. Form one with his nurses. Form one with your dentist. Form relationships with individuals outside of the body of Christ. But folks, we also need to form relationships within the body of Christ as well, don't we? Oh, Vic, I do that. Yeah, we do that maybe with about 3 or 4 people that are fairly close to us, don't we? And we come to worship services and we really spend a lot of time with those individuals. Oh, a couple of others, we'll shake their hand and talk to them, ask them a question or two. You doing okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, see you next week. Bye. Folks, that's not a relationship, is it? Pick somebody out in this congregation that you know you don't know. And you make up your mind, I'm going to get to know them a little bit. Go out to eat with them. Go over to their house. Invite them over to your house. Folks, you and I need to make relationships. That's what Christianity is all about. People, is it not? Point number 2. With regard to relationships, once we have those relationships, we need to do everything in our power to strengthen those relationships. God understood that Christianity is all about people. He understood that His people were going to be constantly interacting one with another. And I find it interesting in the pages of the New Testament, over and over and over again, He commands us, He exhorts us, He legislates us with regard to what we oftentimes refer to as one another relationships. I went through and I counted them. 26 one another relationships, folks. 26. That's positive one another relationships. Things that the Bible exhorts us to do. And the very first one is found in Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Jesus says this, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." Very first one another relationship. Have what? Have peace one with another. Folks, isn't that what relationships are all about? Peace, harmony, getting along, working together. And that's the very first thing that Jesus exhorts with regard to our one another relationships. Guess what the second one is? John 13, 34. "A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye love one another." I just find it interesting that as you start reading the one another relationships, the first one that He exhorts us to have is peace, and the second one is love. Guess what the third one is in the New Testament? Romans 12, verse 10. "Be ye kindly affectioned one to another." Be kind. It's just that simple, folks. Be kind to one another. You don't think God understands relationships? Have peace, have love, be kind. The fourth one is found in that exact same verse. In honor, preferring one another. It's not all about me. You're involved in this relationship as well. And I understand that you have needs, that you have wants, that you have desires. And sometimes, guess what? I have to yield to those, don't I? You drop down 6 verses and we find the next one another relationship. Romans 12, verse 16. "Be of the same mind one toward another." Folks, those are the positive one another relationships. We can just keep going. There are 26 of those in the pages of God's Word. God understands that we've got to strengthen our relationships. We've got to do certain things for each other in order for those relationships to be strong. But I told you a while ago, there are 6 negatives. In other words, there are 6 things that God says, don't do this when it comes to your relationships. When I was studying this lesson, one of the authors that I was reading made this statement: if I could just get my brethren to practice the six negatives, we'd have better relationships. And that's true oftentimes, isn't it? Romans chapter 14, verse 13. The apostle says this: judge not one another. Now, folks, you got to keep that passage in its context. I understand that. Okay? Because there's other contexts where the apostle Paul says that it is just right for us to judge one another. 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. But in this context, Paul says, don't be judging one another. Folks, there are some things in the body of Christ that involve matters of option, matters of opinion. And when you have those, guess what? Quit judging each other in those situations. In the immediate context, Paul was talking about the eating of meats. You turn over to Galatians 5, verse 26. And the apostle Paul again writes and tells us some things that we do not need to do to one another. He says, do not provoke one another. Do not envy one another. Some folks just like being antagonistic, don't they? They just like stirring up the stink just a little bit. They just like pushing your buttons because they know they can. And guess what the Bible says? Don't do that. Don't provoke each other. And some people, they get envious of others, don't they? Look at him. He's just got all that stuff and he just likes to flaunt that stuff. He may not have flaunted it at all. But that person's just what? Just envious. And then they turn against that individual because of what that individual has. Paul says, don't do that, folks. You see, if we can rid ourselves of all the negatives and if we can emphasize all the positives, guess what? We would have strong relationships with one another. Once you get a relationship, you need to do everything you can do to nourish and build and grow that relationship to maturity. There's a warning in Scripture about our relationships. And it's found in Galatians 5, verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Folks, as long as we're fussing and fighting and feuding, guess what? Our relationships are going to suffer, aren't they? And you and I can bite on each other, and we can chew on each other, and we can swallow one another enough that guess what? Each one of us totally consumes the other one. And there is no relationship at that time. Folks, don't destroy your relationships. Do everything you can do to strengthen those relationships, especially those in the body of Christ. Thirdly, we need to do all that we can do to heal and mend broken relationships. I got to thinking about relationships and what binds relationships together. In fact, I wrote a post this morning on Facebook about some of those things, and I wrote them down for this lesson so I wouldn't forget them. I wrote down 10 things, and there may be a lot more things. Folks, this is the gel. These are the chemicals. These are the elements that bring us together in a relationship. Listen to just a few of them. Number one, commonality. My parents were just middle-class people. Country folk is what they used to call. Some say rednecks. That never offended us any. We went out in the sun. Our old necks got chapped a little bit. We were rednecks. Didn't mind driving pickup trucks, shooting rifles, talking country. That's just what we do. Well, guess what? Guess who you're friends with, folks? You're friends with other rednecks, aren't you? That just becomes a part of your circle because there's commonality that's there. I don't associate too much with the Donald Trump types of the world. I don't have enough money to do that. But you see, if you had that kind of money, guess who you'd associate with? All those rich folks, wouldn't you? Because there's some commonality between you. Secondly, conscious decision. When I make a decision and you make a decision, I want to have a relationship with that person. Guess what, folks? A relationship is established, isn't it? And it really doesn't matter who that relationship is with, does it? Sometimes we're almost astounded by those relationships. We look at them and think, he wants a relationship with me, or she wants a relationship with me. And boy, do we want it, don't we? And how wonderful it is, because two people make a conscious decision. Yes, I'll share in a relationship with you. I've known some individuals who are extremely, extremely close to their doctor, folks. Now, I don't share that close of a relationship with my medical doctor. Maybe some of you do, but I don't. I know some of my friends who have gone out to eat with their doctors. Their doctors invite them over for their Christmas parties. They do all kinds of, go to golf together, go to ball games together. They're close friends. Why? Because a doctor and that patient make a decision, we're going to be friends with each other. They could just share in a patient-doctor relationship, couldn't they? But they choose not to. Thirdly, trust. Folks, trust is one of the glues, is it not, that binds a relationship. I can trust you, you can trust me, and our word is our bond. It glues us together in those relationships. Let me just read the others. Like-mindedness, duty, rules, communication, service, expectations, love. Folks, all of those things meld a relationship together, one with another. But here's the problem. The very moment that either one of us goes against anything in that list that binds us together, we wound the relationship, don't we? I have a certain expectation for you. You need to get up every morning at 4 o'clock, make my coffee, and have breakfast on the table for me. And you do that for 20 years. And finally, you get fed up. I ain't doing this no more. That morning, the old man wakes up. No coffee, no breakfast. Uh-oh. We're at odds, are we not? There are problems. The very moment that individual ceased to fulfill that expectation, those two people were at odds one with another. A man wants this, and it's going to cost hundreds of dollars. And a woman says, ain't no way you're getting that, because I want this. They're not what? They're not like-minded one with another. And that wounds the relationship. They're put at odds with one another, folks. Relationships can be strong, but folks, relationships are also very fragile things, aren't they? And what's always astounded me is just how quickly a relationship that has been there for years and years and years, just like that, comes to an end. 20 or 30 years, two men have been friends, and one little thing happens, and guess what? They'll never speak to one another again. In fact, they're almost bitter enemies. Isn't that amazing? And that's why, folks, when relationships get wounded, we need to do everything we possibly can to heal and mend those relationships. And here's what I find interesting about Scripture. It always puts the burden on me to do the healing. Isn't that something? I'm always the responsible one. Every time. One of the first passages is Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If thou therefore bring thy gift to the altar, and rememberest there that thy brother hath aught against thee, now remember, it's the brother who has something against you, right? He's the one ticked off. He's the one upset. He's the one bent out of shape. But you remember that he has aught against you. What do you do? Don't worry about him. That's his problem. When he gets good and ready, he'll come talk to me about it. Is that what the Bible says? No. Leave there thy gift before the altar. And go thy way first, be reconciled unto thy brother. Then come and offer thy gift. Who's the burden on? The burden's on me, is it not? Even if somebody has something against me, the burden is on me to go to that individual. You turn over to Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee. Uh-oh, now I've got something against my brother, don't I? He's trespassed against me now. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Folks, in the first instance, he's got something against me. Now in the second one, I've got something against him. And guess what? In both instances, I am the one responsible for going and trying to heal and mend the relationship. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, sometimes I've just got to go and confess my faults, don't I? Where I've transgressed, where I've violated the will of God. And you and I can sit down and what? We can pray one for another. And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of that righteous man does what? Avails much. Colossians 3 verse 13, forbearing one another, listen to this, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ hath forgiven you, so also do ye. Folks, forgiveness is part of the healing process, is it not? You can bank on it. When we're in relationship, there are going to be times when those relationships are wounded. And what you and I need to do is you and I need to, as quickly as we possibly can, go into the healing mode for that particular relationship. We let that old thing drag on. Old scab gets on there. Scab falls off. And then it's healed over with an old callus, isn't it? Just as hard as it can be. And you try to go now and heal that thing. You can't do it anymore. Everybody's too hardened to it. The longer it goes, the worse it gets, doesn't it? Folks, thirdly, heal those relationships. Point number four. When we have relationships, there are times when we must sever those relationships. Folks, there are some relationships that you and I, as God's children especially, just do not need to be a part of. I'm going to cast these into two big, broad categories. One category is this: relationships that are unhealthy / unsafe relationships. In other words, you might be involved with them, and for a period of time, you may not be overcome. You may not sin. You may not transgress the will of God. But folks, guess what? They are not safe or healthy for you to be in. The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 1 verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Verse 14 says this, "My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy feet from their path." Young people, if there are individuals out there who want you to go sin, who want you to go do something evil, guess what you say? Absolutely not. I want nothing to do with anything that you're about to do. It's unhealthy and it's not safe for me. There's another relationship that's like that, and that's with an angry man. Proverbs 22, verse 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a froward man, thou shalt not go." Folks, don't even get involved with somebody who's got a thorn in his saddle. That's a dangerous relationship, isn't it? Angry individuals do crazy things. And angry individuals rope people in to their little group. And guess what? All of a sudden you find yourself doing the things that angry man wants you to do. Don't you make a friendship with an angry man. It's unsafe. It's not healthy. So there's one category of relationships that we don't need to be in. But there's a second category, and I refer to those as unscriptural relationships that we don't need to be in. We turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter, in verse 4. And old John the Baptist has stood before a man by the name of Herod. Folks, Herod is in a position of rulership. He has authority and power. But he's in an adulterous marriage. He's married a woman by the name of Herodias. She was the wife of Philip, and Philip is the brother of Herod. You remember what John said to old Herod? It is not lawful for thee to have her. It's not a scriptural relationship. You're not supposed to be in this. Now, folks, guess what? That's not according to Roman law, is it? Roman law had allowed these two individuals to get married one with another. Whose law is he talking about? He's talking about the law of God, the law of Scripture, isn't he? God's law says that it is not lawful for you to have this woman. Folks, if it's not lawful for him to have her, guess what he's got to do? He's got to get out of it, doesn't he? It's not lawful. So you see, there are immoral relationships that you and I can be involved in, and guess what? We have to get out of those relationships. Another kind of relationship involves false teachers, individuals who do not adhere to the truth of the gospel of Christ. Folks, if a man is a preacher of the gospel, I don't care how close of a friend he is, if he no longer adheres to the truth, don't you dare hold on to that individual. Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We always apply that to marriage, and the context has absolutely nothing to do with marriage. In the context, false teachers had entered into the church at Corinth, and the Apostle Paul told these individuals, don't you dare continue in this relationship. In fact, verse 17, listen to what he says. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Quit holding on to these false teachers. Quit putting up with their false doctrine. Get away from them. Leave them. Don't associate with them at all. Folks, false doctrine is dangerous. And God wants us to have absolutely nothing, nothing to do with it. Thirdly, the darkness of this world. We are not supposed to have any relationship with, are we? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Sometimes I find Christians all wrapped up in a work of darkness. Drunkenness, drugs, lasciviousness, adultery, whatever it is, folks. Don't get wrapped up in that mess, Paul says. In fact, have no fellowship with those kind of things. But instead, reprove them. Stand against them. And another relationship that we are not supposed to sustain is with an unfaithful brother in Christ Jesus. One who will not walk lawfully. But an individual who chooses to walk unruly. We're not supposed to continue with that kind of an individual. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye received of us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Folks, there's some relationships that you and I just cannot sustain. Christianity. A religion of what? Relationships, isn't it? Folks, relationships are precious. Many of the relationships that you and I will enter with other individuals are gifts from the Almighty God, aren't they? Those relationships can be strong, but we need to recognize there is always a fragile line holding those relationships together, and it can be broken just like that. Some relationships are healthy and some relationships are unhealthy and even sinful for us to be. My friends, tonight I exhort you to do two or three things. Number one, you do everything you possibly can do to make your relationship in Christ Jesus just as strong as you could possibly make it. It should be the number one relationship that you sustain in your life. Number two, seek out as many relationships as you possibly can find, and especially among your brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, that's one of the reasons that I love those men's breakfasts, don't you? I don't know very many people from Dean Road or Arlington, but guess what? We get together, we get to see each other, talk to each other just a little bit, become friends with one another. Just the other day, old Ronnie from Arlington called me and talked to me for about 10 minutes. Folks, I didn't know Ronnie from a hill of beans hardly until just recently. Now he's a deacon over there calling me on the phone, asking my advice for things. Unbelievable, isn't it? But you've got to form those kind of relationships with people. When you get a relationship, you do everything you can do to make it strong. But folks, if it's one that needs to be severed, cut it off. One relationship that you definitely don't need to be in is a relationship with the evil one, Satan. Maybe tonight that's exactly where you are. And you need to come forth and you need to ask God to forgive you of that sin. And reassociate and realign your friendship with the Almighty God. Maybe you're out in the world, folks. You're not even a servant of Jesus Christ. You need still to be reconciled, made friendly. Once again, won't you do that tonight? He made it possible through the death of Jesus in the body of Christ, according to Ephesians 2, verse 16. How do you get into that body? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The culminating act is baptism, is it not? For the forgiveness of sins. The Lord adds you to His church at that point. If you have faith, if you're willing to repent, confess His precious name, folks, we'll immerse you tonight. And you'll arise a friend of the Almighty God. You need to come. Won't you do so as we stand and sing?